This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, welcome to Fat Mascara. It's me, Jen, and just me, Jen. But maybe we should call it like Soko Mascara today because, that's right, that's my guest host. Charlotte Cho is here and she's going to play Jess. No, you're going to be yourself.
I will.
We'll talk about you and your company, Soko Glam, and also your blog, which is a clog, and you have some news about a new product line. And then after that, we'll do a little news. We'll talk about Skip Care, which I feel like our listeners have been hearing a lot about, and you can fill us in. And last, it'll be gossip time, and we want to dig on the dirty laundry of the beauty industry. So let's get into it. So, Charlotte. Yes. I'm so glad I got to know you. Like, I don't know what that was, 2 years ago?
Yeah, maybe? And then we reconnected during the Marie Claire power trip.
Yeah, we were on a 747 together, or yeah. 37, I don't know what that was.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and so we got to talking, and I don't know if I said this, but Jess is in Miami this week on a much-deserved vacation, so I was like, oh, Charlotte can come in, and we can talk all about your amazing career, but also, you have big news because you just launched a product line, so we'll get into that, but in case our listeners don't know who you are, I don't know where they've been, under like some snail mucus or something.
Maybe.
Tell me about your company, Soko Glam, and when it started and how it started.
Sure. Okay. So basically, I was born in California, and I had the opportunity to go work in Korea. So I was doing PR for Samsung, and I basically fell in love with Korean beauty. There were beauty shops on every corner, and keep in mind that I had no skincare routine at the time. I had no
clue. Did you speak Korean?
I didn't even speak Korean well. No.
You are Korean American.
I am Korean American. Okay, my parents immigrated to California.
I'm just setting the scene for everybody. Okay.
So I was completely new, foreign to this land, and I was instantly intrigued with how everyone was into skincare. They had a very skin-first philosophy. And then I got into it, starting with a double cleanse. So people told me about it at work, and I was like, what is that? And so I got into it. Then I started adding more steps.
What happened to Samsung?
What do you mean?
Did you like, were you just like, screw Samsung, I'm just going to learn about K-beauty and skincare while I'm here?
Well, no, I was fascinated with Samsung and I loved what I was doing and I loved the culture and everything that I learned while I was there. But on the side, you know, I was just really into beauty and before when I was in California, I really cared about makeup and lip glosses. But when I went to Korea, it was a completely new world. And I felt like there were all these categories that I've never experienced before or heard about. And so they taught me everything I needed to know. And then I started getting my friends hooked on it in the U.S. Okay. And so that's where
what
the idea
is this, by the way?
So I was in Korea 2008 to 2013. And when I realized that my friends in the U.S. who started to get really into it because I started telling them about it and telling them how to use the products and how to take care of their skin, they said, you know, it's not easy for us to get all of these amazing products. So that's when the light bulb moment happened. And my husband and I, Dave, we decided, you know, we really think that there's something here. And we think that it's an exciting kind of project, like a passion project to help share all of our knowledge and also stay connected to Korea and, you know, really help people on their skincare journeys and tell them what to use, because I had a very like distinct lineup of products I really enjoyed. Yeah.
So you moved back to the States, you and Dave, and tell me if I'm wrong about this. In my head, you were selling on Etsy and it had a product closet that was like an actual closet in your apartment.
No, I think you must have heard.
We had breakfast once. I feel like you told me that, and I still have this vision of you and Dave like on a single bed, like with like a product closet. I don't know.
No, you're right. So we actually started SokuGlam in 2012.
Okay.
And that was in Korea. So we would ship products to the U.S. We always had the U.S. in mind. That's, you know, the whole point of this, like introducing people outside of Korea to Korean beauty. And we shipped it from Korea in our apartment. We had a little closet full of products.
Okay.
And
it
was,
that up.
And yeah, and it's kind of like an Etsy shop because it was so tiny and, you know, we literally took the photos ourselves and it was such a small shop. And I would go to the stores out in Korea and just purchase stuff on sale and then sell it at regular price. It was this really small operation and it was a passion project. I mean, everyone that heard of what we were doing was like, is that going to really work? Because first of all, no one's going to buy products they've never heard of. You know, these are all these name brands that they'd never heard of in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And you're telling them to buy it when they can't touch and feel the product online. And, you know, keep in mind, this is 2012. People weren't really buying skincare.
No, I think Instagram had just started.
Exactly. So there was no skincare influencers, beauty influencers. Like makeup was definitely still the color market was definitely raging and everyone loved lipsticks and eyeshadows, but skincare wasn't as cool and as, you know, interesting as it is today. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's like, you guys are crazy. You guys don't even have e-commerce backgrounds. You guys are not even officially in beauty. Like, I'm not a makeup artist or I'm not a dermatologist. And so this is kind of coming out of left field. And I mean, Dave and I, we didn't really care because...
Because you were passionate.
Yeah, we just, you know, well, this is not supposed to be this perfect business plan. We were trying to make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what just kept us going because it was just for fun.
Was the term K-beauty around then?
No. So
who coined that term?
So I think because K-pop and K-dramas, there's a lot of stuff coming out of Korea that's so popular that everything is attached with the K. So for me, I knew what K-beauty was because I was in Korea, obviously, at the time.
Do they call it K-beauty in Korea?
Not really, because it's their
Should
beauty.
We say that you invented the
no,
word K?
No.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
I wish. That would be really nice. But no, it was just part of the whole K phenomenon, like Korean phenomenon. Okay. So, and the funny thing about the whole K-beauty term is that I remember when I first came to New York and we shifted our business from Korea to New York, we decided, like, I was going to go cold call and cold pitch editors in New York about this whole K-beauty phenomenon. And I felt that telling them about it would really help educate them about what I had learned. And so it was funny because everyone would say, oh, K-beauty, Kardashian beauty, right?
Even then, Jesus.
And I was like, yeah, it's actually quite the opposite of that. But it was a great starting point and great time to discuss about what I meant by that.
Yeah. So you had to do a lot of education. Tell me this, like, at what point was there a product? Was there a gateway product where you and Dave were like, okay, I think this might actually work. We're selling a lot of this and it's starting to take off. Or has it just been gradual the whole time?
we got really lucky because, I mean, I didn't know that this was going to happen early on, but people were very fascinated about it because there's categories that weren't really here in the U.S. There were price points that were really helping people get interested in skincare without breaking the bank.
You know, there's like sheet masks, essences, those kind of things.
Exactly. Okay. And, you know, cushion compacts and products with
CC
snail mucin.
Even.
Yeah. BB cream and CC cream originated from Korea. So it was all, you know, I think in the beginning, if it was just about BB creams, then no one would really contribute. You know, no one would really talk about K-Beauty in that way. But because K-Beauty was about all of these innovations again and again, new things, new formats, new consistencies, new textures, people now see K-Beauty as synonymous to amazing and credible skincare.
And what was that lucky thing? Was there one article that was written or what was it? You're nodding.
I think Daily Candy, which
Daily
love.
Candy.
I know. Daily
Rest in peace.
I know. I love that outlet. And so they wrote something and that really helped sell out our store. Granted, it was just a closet full of products. But then eventually New York Times wrote something about Korean beauty. And so they featured Soko Glam. And that's when, you know, traffic spiked and people started talking about us more and more. And it was just so amazing to see people embracing such a foreign concept.
Right. And what was that? What products were the quickest to catch on here, do you think?
Definitely sheet masks because they're such a low
price
point.
Was there one that was like still and is a favorite that...
Ooh,
I remember when I worked at Sephora.com, I'd get so sick because we'd have to keep writing about the same top-selling SKUs. And it was just like, oh, God, if I have to write about, like, Michael Kors Golden Glam leg deodorant thing again. Do you remember that? It was like a stick deodorant, but it was like golden shimmer that you put on your legs.
No, I don't
In
remember.
The early aughts, it was like Paris Hilton. It was hot shit. Anyway, was there any product that was... Oh, like this again. This is doing so well.
I think definitely sheet masks because it was such a low barrier to entry. People were willing to spend $2 and test it out and see. And people saw results immediately after using sheet mask. And then it was really...
Was there any one brand or...
I think really more than one brand. I think it was about the philosophy of taking care of your skin.
And all right, fine. I was just trying to find out if there was like the one.
I think Misha was a brand that was definitely like on the radar because they had entered the U.S. so early on. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because Korean beauty stores and brands did exist in the U.S., but no one was talking about it in a meaningful way. And so a lot of their stories fell flat. But I think that's where Soko Glam came in. And just my genuine interest in it and talking about it from a Korean-American perspective and letting them understand, you know, my journey, help them come on to my journey as well. You know what I mean? They follow my footsteps on. For me, it was all foreign too. Then I got into it because I learned about it from, you know, the lens of someone in Korea, and then it got me hooked.
Yeah.
And I saw results. But I think what the real kicker was when I got interviewed by Elle, and I basically told them about the 10-step skincare routine.
Yeah.
So I pretty much coined that.
So you did coin
a term.
I did. So we have you to thank/blame for 10-step skincare.
Yeah. And it's funny because it actually got, there's a lot of misconceptions about that whole term, the 10-step skincare routine, because my whole point of explaining about 10-step is not that you have to use every step every morning and night. It was really about a discussion and educational tool to explain, look, Korean women have lots of products in their vanity because they're really savvy about their skin. They know how to take care of their skin. They have certain goals in mind, and they know what to use when they need it.
So it's more like 10 product routine, and then you like put in here and there what you need.
Exactly. But I think people can misinterpret that, and things got a little bit viral in the space.
It's super simplified.
And they said, use 10 steps every morning and night, and this is what I did for a month, and this is what I saw, which is actually usually the results are really good when people have zero skincare routines, and they do layer and hydrate and exfoliate, and when they've never touched anything at all.
Right.
They usually see results. So there was a lot of positive press about, I tried the 10-step, and this is what it did to my skin.
But then I guess also you have great skin, and you're afraid to, like, remove any of the steps, because what if that's the, like, step that is the real kicker?
Right. So there's a lot of people can interpret in different ways. For me, whether you do 2-step, 10-step, you know, for me, I did 5 steps today. It really isn't about the number of steps. It's just about educating yourself and having the discussion, what categories can I use?
Okay, got it. And I know we're going to talk about steps in our next section.
Yeah.
But just a couple more questions for you. You also have a non-retail portion of your business, not even a business, you're a journalist as well. You have The Clog.
Yes.
Which is Korean blog. That's like a portmanteau you made up, right? Okay.
Exactly. And, you know, it's supposed to be a funny take on clogged pores, but I don't think anyone gets that.
I didn't. In my head, it was like K-blog, and it just became clog.
Yeah, it is that.
Clogged but pores.
Yeah, clogged pores. It's supposed to be that, but no one really knows that. And do you know what SoCo stands for in SoCo Glam?
South Korea?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that hard.
A lot of people don't get that. Even 2 years after they shop at the site, they're like, oh my God, I just realized what that means.
That's funny. Yeah. Okay. So The Clog, obviously you guys do articles and you're a journalist like me. I was curious, what has really resonated with people like that you got so much traffic on lately?
It's funny. People love hearing about KBD dupes. So things that are really expensive in the market and what they can use. That's a Korean beauty product that has like similar ingredients.
Give us a K-beauty dupe. Can I give you a product?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if there's one for every single product out there.
You guys, we're getting crazy right now. Okay. One of my favorites, and it's so damn expensive, is SK-II treatment mask.
Oh, wow. There is one.
What is it?
It's a Misha First Treatment Essence.
Does it have the Patera and all the stuff?
So Patera is really a fancy word of saying like fermented yeast.
Okay. But I thought it came from some special lake and she's just like shrugging over there.
I don't know. I mean, well, there's this clear dupe for SK-II, which is the Misha treatment essence.
Are they from the same parent company?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the Misha one?
First Treatment Essence.
And how much cheaper is it? Like one
SK-II? It's 45.
That's what one SK-II mask costs.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about the essence right now, but they have a mask version. It's $7 for the mask.
So instead of like the $40 for one mask or whatever it is.
Is it $40 for one?
Yeah, I think most people buy them in packs, but if you just want to buy one.
Oh, wow.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, and you already gave me another dupe, which I've talked about on the show, because you know I love epidermal growth factors.
Oh, yeah.
And is it EasyDo?
EasyDo, yeah. They have really good, it's a high percentage medical grade EGF, and they put it in the product, and they actually patent the ingredient, which is why they're able to get the cost so low.
And you told me that they also sell it to other companies that use it in their products.
Yes, so they actually control that price, which
is such a good way to find, like, the cheaper version. Like, go find, like, the quote-unquote private label, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what else is popular besides the dupes? People always want a bargain, obviously. Yeah, I saw this story about houseplants and I got really excited.
On The Clog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people love reading The Clog because it's kind of a lifestyle and they get to hear about K-beauty. Like, basically, they hear about beauty in general and skincare, but from the K-beauty lens. And the 10-step skincare routine articles, honestly, they do really well for us as well.
Yeah. But back to houseplants. I'm just like obsessed with plants and birds. Can they really make your skin less dry?
I mean, there was an argument for and, you know, showing both sides of the argument. So in my opinion, I think that it depends on how many you have.
It's not gonna be like a ton. It's like a jungle in my bedroom. And I swear once I got more plants, I didn't need to do a humidifier every night. Possible.
Oh, really?
Because
really?
I saw some Japanese study about women who use a humidifier at night have absolutely fewer wrinkles. Maybe not over the long term, but in immediate, they look better in the morning. So I started using a humidifier, but it makes a noise and it has a little light that annoys me. So then I just got like a ton of houseplants. And
How often do you water the plants?
They're not succulents. So they do need a bit of water, like once a week at least.
Because I do know that even in Korea, when I was living there, they used humidifiers all the time. Everyone, during the winter, they break it out. Every single desk in the office has a humidifier.
In the office too?
And I had to jump on the bandwagon.
Is it a Samsung branded humidifier?
Sometimes Samsung. Okay. And sometimes they're really cute, like kittens.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're watering your plants frequently, sometimes in Korean households, they'll just like wet towels and just hang them because the extra moisture in the air acts like as like a natural humidifier.
Oh.
So maybe when you're watering your plants, you just have more moisture in the air.
Or my wet towel on the back of my door. This is like, I feel like this is turning into the podcast where you just think of cheaper ways to do things. Sorry. It's the Cheap Blog with Charlotte and Jen. Okay, so before we wrap up about you and your fabulous job, we have to talk about Then I Met You.
Yes.
Okay. So you gave me a C. Can I just say this is how much I love Charlotte? She was coming on the Mary Claire power trip and she was like, I'm putting off some business decisions until tomorrow because I wanted to come on this trip. And one of them, well, not business decisions, but it was the launch of your line.
Yes, yes.
So tell us about it. What's Then I Met You?
So basically 6 years of running and building Soko Glam, you know, I really couldn't have gone to this point without the success of Soko Glam. So I just want to lay the groundwork for that.
Yeah.
Because we're doing things so differently with Then I Met You. I mean, we have this community that's rabid about Soko Glam, and they really trust our curations.
Because people have no clue what we're both looking at right now.
Oh.
These are skincare products.
Yeah, these are skincare products. Surprise, surprise.
Go on.
And I think because Soko Glam has grown exponentially over the years, I mean, we've grown two to three times an average per year. And, you know, we have a really amazing team, over 40 people in the office. And we have this really, really engaged community. Without that as like our foundation or our backbone, we really couldn't have done this, which is, you know, a skincare line launch that I really want to do in a special way, in a very unique way. So the name itself, Then I Met You, is so unique and different. And I really wanted to create something that me, as an older millennial, could really love and enjoy, because I've kind of grown up. It's like a turning point in my life where I really wanted effective skincare. So
yeah.
I wanted ingredients that truly work. And also that whole... while delivering a really nice and premium luxury experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that segment is a little underserved, and I feel like I really feel I could provide something in the space. So for me, I'm passionate about it, and I want to provide kind of that luxury experience through all the skincare knowledge I've gained over the years. And so the result is that I met you.
But I love that you didn't come out with like, here's my 20 SKUs or 10 steps. There's only two products to start, right?
Yeah.
So what are they?
It's the cleansing duo. So it includes the steps for double cleanse. So it kind
of... Yeah, you mentioned it briefly. So why do you love the double cleanse?
Yeah, so that's what I first started out in Korea. I fell in love with double cleanse. That's how I got into skincare. So it's kind of a nod to the start of my journey with Soko Glam and getting to K-Beauty. And I really, truly think that it makes a huge difference in your skin when you're using an oil-based cleanser and then a water-based cleanser.
And why is that, do you think?
It's science. I mean, as an esthetician, we even learned this during schooling and...
Yeah, P.S. Did we not mention Charlotte's also an esthetician? Go on.
So the oil cleansing step, that is going to help remove any oil-based impurities, and especially as New Yorkers, pollution, then you got sunscreen and makeup, which is largely oil-based. You have a lot of impurities that are sitting on your face, even excess oil.
Mm-hmm.
So the oil is going to help remove oil the best.
Mm-hmm.
So even people with oily skin types, they benefit the most with oil cleansers. Although I know in the past, in the U.S., people were very afraid of the concept of putting oil on oil.
Was that whole, this is an oil-free face wash in the 90s, like Neutrogena and all those. Was that mostly marketing then?
I don't know. I don't know if... I think it's because they were just trying to get people to wash their face, period.
Because we were all just using bar soap or whatever people did.
Yeah, it was like the first step. They just need to get people to wash their face. But in Korea, they're just very scientific about it, and they're willing to invest the time to take care of their skin. And really, cleansing your skin thoroughly is the key to less acne.
Yeah.
And also premature aging is definitely a result of having impurities left over on your skin.
If you're sleeping with like tiny heavy metal particles from pollution on you, that's got to be causing spots.
Right.
I mean, there's studies that show it.
Right. And free radical damage, you know, it's cleaning your skin is the number one step. And then from there you build on and you add hydration and you
got all. But if you use this oil-based, and yours is a cleansing balm, right?
Yeah. It's called a living cleansing balm.
And you get rid of all that stuff. Then why do you need another cleanser is what I hear people asking in their headphones right now.
No. And definitely. I think for the double cleanse routine, it's oil-based cleanser to remove all the oil-based impurities and a water-based cleanser to remove any additional impurities. Have you ever used a toner and then used it on a cotton pad and swiped your skin and you still saw impurities left over in your skin?
Does that mean they were water-based impurities?
So water-based impurities could be dirt or sweat, or it really is just getting any remaining impurities off your skin. And plus, because you might have a little bit of an oil-based cleanser in the beginning, you're kind of also removing the oil.
Excess of the oil. But you needed that oil to get rid of the other stuff.
Right.
Okay.
So you're just really thoroughly, and to sum it up and make it really simple, is you're really cleansing your skin. Any possible way.
But in a much gentler way than I think Americans have always wanted, like, we love using a scrub with like walnut shells or a tingly thing or menthol. And I think for a long time I have equated that with cleanliness.
Right.
So this is a gentle way to get thoroughly clean. You're not going to be squeaky afterwards,
No. That's not the point. And that's why for the soothing tea cleansing gel, I made it a pH of 6 and I didn't want it to be too high. And so there's all these things that I've learned that I, you know, wanted to put
them cleansers out there that are higher?
Definitely.
The ones that make you feel squeaky clean.
Yeah. And honestly, there's different preferences. I know people with really, really oily skin that want that squeaky clean feeling. So there's no right or wrong. But personally for me,
that's
I feel like six is wrong.
Then you get the rebound oiliness, no?
I mean, honestly, it's just preference at sometimes.
You're too nice. So what are the name of those two products, just so we know?
So Living Cleansing Balm and then the Soothing Tea Cleansing Gel.
Yeah.
And what's unique about it is that I think everyone who's been asking me, are you going to create a product line? Are you going to create your own line since like year two of SoCoGlam? I just wanted to take the time to do it right.
Yeah.
And people were really shocked, especially in the beauty industry, that we did something that is not called SoCoGlam.
Yeah.
Is not just like, you know, something that we did overnight, but it's been this really long journey of creating something that's unique, and it's not sold on SoCoGlam.
At all?
At all.
I didn't get that. I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. Do you want it to be sold? So where at other retailers? I know it's on the website right now, but.
Yeah. So we are only selling on denimatyou.com, and that was a very strategic decision. And everyone's like, you guys are crazy.
Once again.
But really, it's about letting this brand, the colors, everything about this brand to live and breathe organically on denimatyou.com. And honestly, it's not a K-beauty brand.
Right.
And it's not a SoCoGlam private label. And so it is a premium skincare line.
Yeah.
And so we think that the experience unboxing, when you receive it in your mail at home, it's a complete experience that is part of that luxury experience I'm trying to create. And I really think we hit the nail on the head with the colors and the name and the everything about it and the ingredients and the formula. It really would be not doing it justice if it was on SoCoGlam.
Yeah, and if you guys hear cheering in the background, it sounds like we just like put up the cheers for, yay, then I met you. But Andy Cohen's recording Watch What Happened Live. I swear we're in a studio, but it's loud over there. Sorry. It's beautiful. And also, you guys should check out the website and just watch the video.
The ASMR video.
Oh my God, so much ASMR. How many people have I had to teach about ASMR when they watch your video? Because they're like, it makes me feel good inside and I don't know why.
It is because skincare is so luxurious. And I feel like the double cleanse, it really is a nice part of the day. And honestly, a lot of people that come through SoCoGlam that give us testimonials about, you guys changed my skin, you guys helped me be educated about skin, they always talk about the double cleanse.
All right, it's not often that we talk about supplements, but when we do, you know that we mean it, all right? Every day I do my skincare routine, and that is a cleanse. I moisturize. Of course, I pop a little antioxidant in there. I'll do a little serum underneath there. But what is non-negotiable for me lately is I take a supplement. That is my Ritual Hyacera. It's a wrinkle support skin supplement, which is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and improve skin smoothness. I'll take that.
I'll take it too. Ritual Hyacera is a once daily skin supplement. Jess said clinically proven. Let me give you the deets. In a clinical study, Hyacera led to a 3.6 time reduction in crow's feet wrinkles within 90 days as compared to placebo. Jess and I have been taking it more than 90 days. Let me tell you, it works. Plus, Ritual Hyacera has led to a 2.9 times increase in skin smoothness in the same amount of times. It's rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You don't always know if a supplement does that. Ritual also has industry-leading sustainability standards. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, love that, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals, plus female-founded, B Corp, meaning they're holding themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of the people and our planet. You gotta love that.
Yes, okay. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust.
Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/mascara. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/mascara for 25% off.
Okay, everyone, guess what I did last night? I slept in my Honeylove bra.
I don't think I've ever slept in a bra before. Usually, I am so excited to take off my bra at the end of the day, there would be no chance I would lay down in it. But Honeylove bras are that comfortable. And if you're someone who does like to sleep in a bra for a little extra support, I feel like the Honeylove crossover bra should be your sleeping bra. Did I just coin a thing, sleeping bra? I don't know if they'll approve of that, but I love the idea. Obviously, you're going to wear it out all the time too, because Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for uncomfortable wires. Plus, they're made with a fabric that's so soft, it feels like a second skin. Is it spring cleaning time in your house? I know it is in mine. Clean out your bra drawer, get a few from Honeylove. They have the V-neck bra that's smooth and seamless and hardware free. And then my personal favorite is the crossover bra with adjustable straps and a hook back closure. And of course, again, no underwire in that one either. The Honeylove supportive bonding lifts and supports without those uncomfortable wires. And while you're at it, why not pair your Honeylove bra with their matching shapewear or maybe a pair of their breathable, versatile leggings? Treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. It's honeylove.com/mascara. And then after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we here at Fat Mascara sent you. Honeys, you deserve this. Again, that website is honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. Okay, so there are some stories about my mom's life that I never get tired of hearing, and they're usually the ones in which she's trying to right some injustice and then ends up annoying the people in power, and I love that about her. Anyway, just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve memories and stories for the mother figure in your life or any of your family or chosen family. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. The prompts are really good. The kind of things we ask guests here at Fat Mascara, little things like what's your favorite board game? And more important things like what's the best advice you've ever gotten? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to the email with a story, long or short, doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of what they wrote, but they'll also be collected. So you'll get to enjoy the retelling of the stories and probably learn some new things in the process. Then after that year of fun, Storyworth automatically compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. Even though I know some of my mom's best stories, I love that the weekly prompts are helping to uncover more details and that they'll be collected in one place for me to revisit and read through. Don't think I'm not going to pull this keepsake book out at our next family get together to share some of them. Listen, everyone loves Storyworth. It has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/mascara. That's storyworth.com/mascara to save $10 on your first purchase.
Cleanse.
Okay. So. It's a good start. Good job. Charlotte, I hope that you don't think this is like, oh, K-Beauty girl's on, so I'm going to ask her about this. But it's kind of a little bit of that. Lately, like over the last 2 weeks, I want to say, I keep hearing people talking about skip care.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured you're coming on the podcast. Who better to discuss this with than the woman who coined the term 10-step routine? So in case anybody's been seeing this, what is skip care? Who made up that word? Just tell me about it for a second.
Yeah, so skip care is a term that actually has been around since 2016.
Okay.
And they've been, it's a word that was talked about in Korean magazines, beauty magazines.
Do they use the English word for these?
Yeah.
You know how sometimes in Korean packaging, it's like all in Korean, then it'll be like shroomy blob or whatever it is.
Yeah. So they use it in English, okay. Yeah. Skip care or skincare diet is another one.
How did it get its start then in Korea, do you think?
So they were just talking about, in the first publication, I think in 2016, they were talking about how a lot of your skincare maybe concerns that you may have, like sensitivity or rosacea, you need to figure out what kind of skin goals you have and what skin concerns you may have, and then you need to eliminate products that may not be helping. So, okay. For example, if you have rosacea and you're very sensitive, then you probably should skip exfoliating. So it's just a way to, like, streamline
but
your routine.
But you just assume everybody was exfoliating?
I mean, I'm telling you.
Okay. So you look at your whatever number steps it is, maybe 10, yeah. and you're saying, maybe I should pull this one out.
Yeah, depending on your needs and just streamlining it based on how your skin is reacting or what.
It's so opposite. Like, I feel like here it's like, okay, what are my things? I'll add in products that can help.
Right.
And in Korea, it's like, I already have a ton of products. Let me take out things that aren't helping.
Right.
Is that the basis of it, though?
Yeah, it's about understanding what you really need at the time and streamlining your routine.
Can I rant for a second?
Sure.
Though? Because
yeah,
if you were Jess Matlin, I'd rant to you right
okay,
now.
Go ahead.
Why do we need a name for this? Isn't this just logic? Like, if you don't need it, don't use it.
Exactly. But I think it's fun. I don't know.
It makes it a trend, and then people are. It causes people to take a second, to stop and think about.
It's like fad diets. It's like Whole 30, or you know,
maybe
the keto
you're not
diet.
Doing the diet, but you'll start eating more whole grains because you heard from everybody else that it's healthy.
Exactly.
Okay.
I got super into Whole 30, and it was the education behind it, and I got into this trend. But I was like, wow, it really works, and it completely changed my like. It helped me educate about sugars and carbs and you know all of this stuff and. It was helpful for me.
And then
lifestyle.
Even if you don't stick to it completely,
exactly.
you've learned these lessons.
Exactly.
That's a good way to think about it. That's good. That's why you have a blog and a company, and I'm over here ranting on a podcast. Okay. So what if someone has, I'm just saying, might not be me, might yeah. be me, like clogged pores on your chin, like those ones that like you just pinch and that little thing comes out? Do you know what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, totally. I have that.
Is that
I have,
a clogged pore?
Yeah. Yeah, and I have hormonal acne too, so... I totally get where you're coming from.
I feel
from.
Like chin and nose is where they happen, but for me, it's chin. What is there a step that could be causing that?
Well, my first thought is that you probably need a chemically exfoliate.
Okay.
But that's adding a step.
Well,
but,
I actually don't do that, so maybe that is the problem.
Okay, so now here I am selling again. Just kidding. No,
it's ad care. Everybody, it's the new thing. Just add in what you need.
No, but I think, you know, switching out your moisturizer if it is too heavy, because I think the common misconception is that, oh, my skin is so dry, I'm going to just put on this really, really emollient cream. But what it does is just like sit at the surface of your skin, but you're not hydrating it. So you need lighter consistencies
that will sink in. Otherwise, I'm just sealing off like air moisture from my skin. Yeah.
Exactly. And also, you know, when you have like an eye cream that's super emollient as well, and mm-hmm. you tend to gravitate towards that because it feels so creamy and nice, but it actually causes milia because it's clogging those pores.
Yeah, which are those little white things. So before we stop talking about skip care, let's find out what chemical exfoliant I need, please. What are you liking as far as like for my little chin things that give sebum when you squeeze them?
Well, it seems like you have rosacea. It seems like you have sensitive skin, right?
That's why I don't use a chemical exfoliant.
Yeah. Oh, then have you ever tried any PHAs like lactobionic acid or...
So these are not alpha hydroxy acids. They're not beta hydroxy acids.
PHAs. So they're slightly larger molecules. Doesn't penetrate into your skin as fast as like salicylic acid.
Okay.
So then it's less irritating for those sensitive skin types.
And some of them are, say again, what are some of them?
Lactobionic acid and gluconolactone.
Oh, gluconolactone I've definitely heard about.
Yeah.
So on like, say on SoCoGlam, is there like an essence or a lotion that has those in it that I should try?
Yes.
Which one?
So there's Cosrx.
You know Cosrx,
the maker of the pimple patches? The acne?
Yeah.
They're the like ones who started the whole pimple patch craze.
Yeah.
They have a good PHA cream.
Oh, it's a cream.
And they have also chemical exfoliants too. I mean,
meaning like a liquid?
Yes. So there's a bunch of stuff on Cosrx.
I don't want another cream. I want like a cotton pad kind of liquid thing.
Okay, yeah.
Cosrx.
I'll send you something.
You don't have to send it to me. I'll buy it. I just was like, I don't know. But that's actually a really good tip about if you want to exfoliate, but you have sensitive skin, to look for PHA acids or
right.
pH acids.
Mm-hmm.
I just screwed up that acronym, but I think people got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any final thoughts on skip care?
Yeah.
Cool. Can we start up ad care and that'll be our thing and then we'll be famous?
We'll really confuse everyone now. No, but I think it's funny because they're asking me questions like, oh, K-beauty must be over because the 10-step skin routine, it's over, and now Korean beauty has to kind of change up the way they, you know, sell products. But it's really, there was a huge misconception with the fact that you have to use 10 or 12 products every morning and night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to take
a long
time.
But if they really look into it and go on your site, they see that's not what it's about.
Yeah, it's about the journey. Like, it's going to evolve with your lifestyle.
Oh, it's about the journey. I like that. Okay. So in case you guys haven't figured this out yet, Charlotte is the nicest person in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
Would Dave agree with me on that or no?
Yeah, I think so. He's my biggest supporter.
But I want her to talk dirt with me and gossip because I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. We both actually follow this Instagram account called Estee Laundry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's basically a play on dirty laundry, obviously. Estee being one of the biggest brands that owns a lot of companies, mm-hmm. of Estee Lauder. And they basically repost things and call the beauty industry out on their dirty laundry.
Or like copycats or whatever.
Oh, yeah, copycats. Yeah. That might have been even how it really got its start. Like, hey, here's this product that looks like Glossier, and they have ripped off everything. So why did you start following it first? Tell me that.
Oh, actually, because they posted something about, is Korean beauty over?
Oh, so you just started following it recently. That was a recent post.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they basically were the ones that were saying, like, skincare is...
Is that, yeah, the new
antithesis
thing.
Of K-beauty.
Right, right. And I think, yeah, I think that's where I was like, oh, this is interesting. It actually reminds me of Diet Prada, the fashion version.
Thank you. That's a much better way to describe it. Thank you. But something else they do, and I'm not sure how I feel about this yet, is they'll call out celebrities. They'll call out advertisements that look like they've been retouched. Does like it bother you, this bit of like shaming online, or do you think this is good news for people?
I think everything is, it needs to not swing to one extreme. I think there's obviously, it's great to have transparency. And mm-hmm. I think we crave that, and everyone has a voice. And I am a proponent of that. But I think when things get really negative and nasty, like kind of like how Reddit has kind of transformed into such a dark pit of negativity, and people are so willing to say such nasty things without having context, I think it could go down this route that is not so healthy. But
yeah, it's like, if you're going to be so transparent, then tell us who you are, Estee Laundry. So just from their level of knowledge, who do you think it could be?
Honestly, I have no clue. I'm the wrong person to ask. I have no idea. I mean, you probably know. I don't know these things.
I was like, maybe it's a disgruntled beauty editor who got fired. I have a friend who used to work at Nylon, and she's awesome, and she would totally do something like this, but I don't think it's her either. Because, you know, I'm a writer and editor. I know voice. Mm-hmm. So I read the captions, and I'm like, whose voice is this?
Do people know who the Diet Prada people are?
Did they get outed?
No, I don't think so.
I think
that's so hard to keep it a secret, especially when you're that popular.
Yeah.
I feel like it has to be more than one person, because they have to, like, tag team, because it's a lot of content.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Will they be able to keep that a secret amongst them, too? I don't know. That's really impressive to me.
I know. And part of me wants to dig into it and, like, go find IP addresses and, like, break the news. But then I'm also like, the act of being anonymous gives you the ability to, like, really give us information we might not see elsewhere. I just want people to take it with, like, a grain of salt. Just because she or he is being really honest and putting out there doesn't mean even everything they're saying is true.
Right. There's a lot of context that needs to be put out on top of whatever they're trying to share, and sometimes that can be unfair. You know, it's like you have to see all sides of the story, and it's hard to, like, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, they even reposted, I don't know if they reposted this from us, but it was a Business Insider infographic about how 7 conglomerates own all the beauty brands. And I was like, wow, that looks so scary. We should always get... But then I'm like, no, that's just truth. It's like, you still are going to make conscious decisions. You're not going to not buy Too Faced because you know, who owns Too Faced? Estee Lauder.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Estee Lauder. It's like an in-house job.
I doubt it.
Damn it. You're no help. Anyway, listeners out there, if anybody wants to take a guess, it's not me. It's not Charlotte.
It's not me.
What if Jess Matlin is secretly doing this from her Miami trip? That'd be crazy. Let us know what you think and tag us on any of the posts, tag Fat Mascara, so we can check out if we haven't seen any that you think are especially informative. Okay, it's time to raise a wand. Charlotte and I were just realizing we talked about a lot of products, but we didn't talk about your favorite products. So you're not allowed to say a skincare product, though.
Okay,
deal?
Deal.
Okay. What do you want to raise a wand to?
Want to raise a wand to M Cosmetics.
Okay. I'm not familiar. What is it?
So this is a brand that was founded by Michelle Phan.
Oh, you guys is it EM?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I am familiar. Okay,
yes.
Go on.
So I don't know if people know this, but M Cosmetics launched... long time ago with Michelle Phan as the founder, but she ended up taking it back from L'Oreal. I believe it's L'Oreal. Mm-hmm. So she bought the brand back and she relaunched with completely new branding and SKUs. And I love her illustrative eyeliner. I've used 4 now and I'm on my 5th one.
Is it a felt tip, a pencil?
It's a felt tip. And I use eyeliner every day.
Is that what's on you right now? And you do like the mini wing. It's kind of your thing.
I do like the mini wing.
So that's what you use?
I use every day. Yeah, it's amazing.
And it doesn't transfer?
It doesn't transfer. It's just a really dark liquid liner that is easy to control.
I use the IT Cosmetics one and the Kat Von D one. Ooh. Is it like that?
It is. I should send you one because it's so good. I have like 3 in my closet, in my drawer.
That's so cool because when the line first came out, I remember thinking, this is very complicated. It was all these like palettes and things. And I was like, I'm not going to buy all that.
She redid it and it's really nice and it really speaks to like quality and it's great. It's a great price too. So I'm really impressed with her line. She's girl boss. She like literally bought it back and was like, I'm going to do it my way.
Good job, Michelle Phan. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'm going to raise a wand to something that you brought me.
Yeah.
Charlotte and I have talked about, I want to say it was last winter. I was crazy. I decided I was going to make pho myself, and I did the momofuku recipe, which is like 24 ingredients. It took me 10 hours. I basically needed an entire pig to make the stock. Then, I wasn't making pho. I was making tteokbokki.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's it, because that's a Korean dish for people that don't know.
Oh, my gosh. That's, I was like,
that's what it was.
Okay, you're right, right. So, tteokbokki,
first of all, it's like mac and cheese in Korea, right?
Yeah. It's like a comfort food.
You could make it so easy, just like get the frozen kind and like throw in some sauce.
That is so funny. Okay, for some reason I thought it was pho because I knew it took hours.
Now it makes more sense. But so anyway,
you are crazy for making
that. Now it's even crazier, right? So I spend all this time to make this like miso-based broth for whatever it is. Not looking to the tteokbokki recipe, which required, I kid you not, 2 tablespoons of the broth.
Yeah.
So I went through 10 hours and this whole pig to make this thing that then, like, I didn't even barely need it. And you could just, like, make tteokbokki. Everybody listening is like, did this turn into a cooking podcast?
And I was telling her, like, you just buy that frozen at the Korean grocery and then it would take, like, 2 minutes.
No, but it was a journey. You're the one who told me it's a journey. Yeah. Anyway, you rock, and I'm going to raise a wand in your honor because she knows I love Asian food, and she knows I love pho, because I do. And you brought me your favorite ramen it's a Japanese brand, though, right?
Yeah, it's called Sapporo Ichiban.
Sapporo Ichiban. People, this is not Oodles of Noodles, or whatever that pink and orange and green one that, like, I grew up on, the shrimp flavor one.
It's called Couple Noodles.
Couple Noodles.
Oh, my God. That's a classic. But, yeah, this is way better. And this is, it's a Japanese brand, but I grew up eating this, and it's one of my favorites. And I was at the Korean market today, and I was like, let me pick up an extra one.
The best. Sapporo Ichiban. Okay, I'm going to freak us all out, though, before we go and read how much sodium is in this.
I'm sure there's
Charlotte!
I'm sorry.
One serving is 1,870 milligrams of sodium. Okay, here's the quiz before everybody leaves. What percentage of your daily value of sodium is that? Take a guess.
I have no idea.
78%.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe I'll only use half of the seasoning packet.
Yeah, that's a good hack.
So I'm going to skip care the salty.
But the thing, when you eat something salty at night and you go to sleep, you get a little bit puffier, which means you could look more plump and just kidding. And alive the next. No,
you guys
I'm
want
kidding.
Plump skin? Eat the salty ramen. Should we leave on that note? You've been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on Fat Mascara.
No, thank you for having me.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at Fat Mascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.